Rams fans, welcome to Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, the initial 53-man roster is in, but hold your horses. Changes are definitely still coming. Plus, team captains have been announced. Only one or two surprises on that front. And later on, Matthew Stafford struggling to connect with the young guys? Well, we'll talk about that. Before we get into the action, did want to give you a reminder, RamsShowcase.com is where you can find all the latest surrounding the show, as well as myself. As we do hop into the season, as this is being recorded, it is the 31st of August, which means kickoff just 1 week away, and I am super pumped about it. So a bit of a program note for you. We will have some preview content up at RamsShowcase.com, so be sure to check that out. Also, we do have a few surprises when it comes to the game preview content, so be on the lookout for that as well next week. And of course, Rams Showcase will go back to the schedule of releasing on Wednesday nights, once I am home from work, which I get off at 10 o'clock Pacific time right now. So once I get home from work on Wednesday nights, that's when Rams Showcase will be recorded and quickly published after that, as far as the audio version, podcast version of Rams Showcase goes. But like I said, other deets on the way. Some details that I guess I just don't want to dive into at the moment, but of course you will know soon enough. The next podcast, you will know all of those details, as this is the final podcast without a full-on game preview in it. Next episode, we will of course dive into week one. St. Louis Rams. What year is this? Oh my gosh. That's funny actually. But LA Rams at the Seattle Seahawks for week one. We'll definitely be talking about that, diving into that game as we dive into the season starting officially next week, like I said. But, of course, social media at Rams Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. That's where the follow action happens. Looking to dive into more graphic stuff as far as the Instagram goes. So Rams Showcase Instagram page, that is, I think, going to be the focus this year. So if you want to get a jump on that, that's the place to do it. In news for the Los Angeles Rams, not a lot right now other than a few roster shakeups. I am still waiting on the uniform schedule from this team. That should happen really soon. I'm a little bit jealous of some of the colleges where not only do they give you the uniform schedule, they also give you the pants. You get pants schedules. Pants schedules? I am in. I am in for all of this, and I would love pants schedules for the Los Angeles Rams. That sounds awesome. Dealing with a few opponents here that some issues that our opponents are dealing with that do help the Rams. So first and foremost, we'll start with week one, Seattle. Wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba is dealing with that injury. He's not expected to play week one against the Rams, although we did get the unfortunate news that Cooper Kupp, day-to-day, seems like that hamstring injury is still giving him some issues. So it's possible that he doesn't play in that game either. Obviously, what Kupp means to the Rams offense would probably be more than Smith and Jigba means for the Seahawks offense, if I had to guess. All right, I don't want to throw Smith and Jigba under the bus quite yet before we let his career even begin, but just a hunch that this Cooper Kupp guy, hey, he's pretty good at football if you haven't seen. 49ers, Nick Bosa, he does continue his holdout right now. This is the Rams' Week 2 opponent at SoFi Stadium. But I also don't think he has enough leverage right now to get a deal like AD does. This is a conversation I've had a few times with a few different 49ers people saying that he's going to make more than AD. Well, why? What has he done more than AD in order to deserve that? And don't get me wrong here. Nick Bosa, obviously extremely talented and extremely, probably the better Bosa, if I had to guess. But also, that whole family kind of gives me some weird vibes. So I don't know about all that, but Bosa, I don't think he's done enough to get what AD makes. And simply because, I mean, we're dealing with a three-time defensive player of the year. This guy is known as one of the better defenders this league has ever seen. And Bosa not in that category, at least quite yet. I mean, maybe in a few years, but we knew pretty quick on Aaron Donald that he was an absolute game changer. Even his rookie season where he started to get in a little bit late, I think it was like week 6 when he really started getting some reps in there. I know like week 3 he kind of made an appearance, but it kind of slowly came in, but we knew pretty quickly that Aaron Donald was just a different kind of animal And Nick Bosa, yeah, very, very talented, but I don't put him in that same same conversation as an Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is a first ballot Hall of Famer, locked in. But Nick Bosa, he's an elite pass rusher. Aaron Donald, though, the next level up. So I do think that there's a little bit there. We'll see how fast this deal gets done. Of course, once the season starts, that does tend to motivate teams to give in a little bit more and give the players what they want. Moving on to the Colts, running back Jonathan Taylor. He may get traded, but he definitely will be starting the season on the PUP list, which means he will miss the first 4 weeks, including week four, when the Colts do host the Rams after that trip to Cincinnati for the Rams, heading over to Indy. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, Richardson also starting quarterback there. So a lot of question marks in surrounding the Colts. We don't really know what kind of team that we'll be playing in week four, but we get 3 games of a sample size, which isn't much, but we should have a better idea, obviously, once we get to that point. But we'll worry about that game when we get to there. That's an AFC opponent anyway. And there's also rumors that quarterback Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals will sit out the entire season, is starting the season on the PUP, of course. But while the Cardinals are taking a season to reset, are the Cardinals tanking? Well, I would say yes and also no. They know that they aren't going to be very good this year, and they aren't making those like last-minute additions to try to compete this year. They knew they wouldn't, so might as well just accept that it's a rebuild. Is accepting that you're in a rebuild the same as tanking? I'm not sure. And I do tend to think that the Cardinals are just on that side where they're like, you know what? It's fallen apart. let's just go ahead and take this season. We'll kind of see what's worth keeping around, and then we'll build it back up around that. And it kind of feels like that's the way it is. So is accepting that you're in a rebuild the same as tanking? And of course, if you're accepting that you're in a rebuild, you're probably not going to try to hang on to all your high-dollar guys, right? You're not going to try to desperately hang on to a DeAndre Hopkins. It's like, might as well just let him go. You're rebuilding anyway. I don't know if I would qualify that the same as tanking, but maybe you do. I'm not going to say that you're wrong if you do. No, it's just kind of a weird little twist on that that I think is being ignored with the Cardinals, that I think that they just like, what else were they supposed to do? It's not that they were going to be able to add 2, 3, 4 players and be able to compete this year. So you might as well just go ahead and be like, all right, screw it. This is going to be rough, but hey, let's go, you know, might as well at that point, right? It's kind of how I feel about the Arizona Cardinals. But hey, I ain't mad about them. Going to be terrible this year. And that does not hurt my feelings one bit. All right. 53-man roster. So actually just reading those words just now reminded me that I do need to make a few updates on my roster prediction page that is up at ramshowcase.com. I did pretty well, I'll say that, as far as my predictions go. This was the least confident I've ever been picking a 53-man roster, and also I think the best I've ever done. So that's interesting, huh? But there are a few surprises, of course, as there always will be. The Rams did keep 4 running backs, only 6 wide receivers, and 4 tight ends. I kind of got, I guess, a little bit of a nugget on the tight ends as I just was asking players stuff at the Denver game, the final preseason game. And when Tyler Higbee came up and was signing my flag, I asked him, I was like, dude, who is going to stay on this roster as far as tight ends go, man? I was like, there's 4 that feel like they should make it. Are the Rams keeping 4? And he's like, I think so. And I was like, are you like, so that means they're keeping 4? And he like kind of looked at me and like gave me this little smirk. And he's like, I'm pretty sure 4 are making this team. So hey, Tyler Higbee knew something. I didn't really like go into the whole like reporter mode of like, this just in, you know, per sources, Rams are going to keep 4 tight ends. Cause like, whatever. But it felt like I had some inside knowledge that not anybody did, which was kind of cool. 6 wide receivers, that surprises me, simply because I really thought this team would keep more than that. And then 4 running backs as well. So the reason that all this surprises me is because the type of offense that the Rams typically run, which is an 11 personnel. If you don't know what that is, that's 1 running back, 1 tight end, and that's where you get the 11, the 1-1. And the Rams, though, I will say, in fairness, have mixed it up a bit and have been running a lot of 12 personnel, which is 1 running back with 2 tight ends. So it does make sense to keep on an extra tight end just so that you have the depth to handle whatever might come your way. And we Rams fans know that something can come your way. Absolutely it can. So Rams keeping 10 offensive linemen, that kind of stuck out to me a little bit. Feels more It feels like more than I expected, even though keeping a backup for every starter makes total sense. But seriously, what are the odds that we have the injury luck that we did as last year? I'm not sure. I would be extremely surprised if we had that same kind of bad injury luck that we saw on this offensive line last year. So to keep 10, that is literally why I had the Rams keeping 9, because I don't, obviously that's not a big difference. It was one extra dude hanging around, but the reason that I had 9 is simply because to see another year of the injuries like that, I mean, the odds of that are absolutely, like, they're astronomical, I would say. It was, for even 1 year of that is absolute madness, so there is that part of it. Logan Bruss, though, part of the cuts, and I know that this should not be on my surprise list, but because I predicted him to get cut, so like it should just be like, yep, I felt like this would happen, and it did. But I will put it here due to what I saw on the internet. Simply the reaction of Logan Bruss being cut sent a few Rams fans into a spiral, and I'm not here to talk trash because I will never tell anybody how to be a Rams fan. But why is it every single year that we learn that the draft order and where people are picked in the draft does not ever directly correlate to how they perform on the field? Just because a guy was picked early does not mean he will produce, and just because a guy was picked late does not mean he won't produce. We learn this every single year, and every single year, I feel like we all forget. And then we go in and something happens, somebody gets cut, or somebody starts or something, and everybody's just up in arms, and they're like, what is going on, Logan Bruss? And it's fine. It's going to be okay because, hey, it didn't work out, all right? Logan Bruss, he didn't work out. He wasn't very good, but he's also on the practice squad now, so that's something. Les Snead's comments really made me laugh on this, or was it Sean McVay? One of the guys with great hair was saying something about having to go against Aaron Donald. Probably hurt him. Did it, though? I mean, I feel like that would help, right? Like, if you can hold your own against Aaron Donald, you're a brick wall. No one else is getting by you, right? That's one of one, Aaron Donald. So, I don't know about all that. But either way, like just because of a guy was drafted high, it doesn't mean he's going to pan out. Yes, he was the first pick in last year's draft for the Rams, and he didn't work out to that, and that's totally fine. We will always need to see guys out on a football field before we can judge him. Bruss didn't work out. He is on the practice squad, so maybe this is some kind of wake-up call for him. So maybe he'll kind of like realize that he's on the practice squad now, and it'll snap him into being awesome or something. It was an overall cursed season last year, and I think that maybe the Logan Bruss pick can just be kind of included now in the curse that is the 2022 Los Angeles Rams, because what the heck even was that last year? Oh my gosh. The Rams did keep 8 linebackers, only 3 of those being the inside version. Christian Roseboom, he is going to get his first crack at starting. He did tell me that in Denver. Hummel, also, he comes in as the depth in the middle as well. And with so many DBs also kept, expect a lot of nickel defense with the safeties kind of coming down into the box. Also, we have been told that O'Shawn Mathis probably going to IR, so he could return later. He's going to, of course, be out for 6 weeks, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now. I would anticipate that with Roseboom getting the start inside, that we should see, obviously, a good chunk of him, but Ernest Jones in the middle there, and then the Rams did keep a good chunk of safeties as well, so to kind of slot them in as well to play that like Mark Barron, Taylor Rapp-ish kind of role, I think makes total sense there. So Roseboom and Hummel, I'm sure they'll both get some playing time in there, especially teams for Hummel. But that's kind of what I would anticipate as far as the secondary goes. The Rams have been doing that for a while, though, especially with Raheem Morris. And I think that that's part of the complaint from Rams fans is the softness. And sometimes when you swap out a linebacker for a DB, you're just not as big and strong anymore. And even if it's just a little tiny bit, you are sacrificing size and strength for maybe a little bit of speed and some ball hawkedness. Which is a word I just made up, which I feel pretty good about. Also, no kicker after cuts, which the fan reaction to this, I gotta say, absolutely hilarious on this topic. So obviously, Tanner Brown, he had his struggles, and there was there had to have been some kind of plan in place, right? So I know it's jarring to announce a 53-man roster, and there's just a massive gap in a position that you need to have a guy in. So it's just a starting role, and it's just wide open. But obviously that wasn't going to be the case going into the season, right? So Brett Maher, the Rams did pick up him. He is a practice squad player officially right now, but of course that is going to change. I'm guessing that once O'Shawn Mathis gets moved over to IR, then Maher will just be activated, and I'm sure that that's just the way that that'll go. But he should be able to help out this entire unit as far as like just being kind of a veteran presence there. Tanner Brown, I didn't dislike Tanner Brown, but I will say that after the Denver game, he was speaking with his family, and I gotta say, he just looked real dejected, and I know that he missed the kick and stuff like that, but he just did not look like he was happy at all. He just looked, and not like angry, he just looked sad, man. Like, he just looked bummed out. So, Tanner Brown, though, we kind of called that one. I think that those of us who were standing there outside after the game was kind of like, this guy probably doesn't feel too confident that he's going to be here after Tuesday, huh? And then it didn't happen, of course. So Maher coming in, I know that some fans are really nervous about this. I'm surprised by that as well. And the fan reaction simply being hilarious to me is because it's like, I feel like Rams fans thought that Les Snead and Sean McVay like made all the cuts and then like had a conversation with each other like, wait, Tanner Brown was our only kicker? Oh no. Like, that's obviously not what happened. Like, there was some kind of plan in place. So people being like, we don't even have a kicker. What are we doing? Going for two every time? Like, it's like, no, like, we're just going to sign a kicker. It's okay, guys. Like, just relax. Like, we don't have to go to Seattle right now. Like, give it some time. It's going to be okay. But those are really my only surprises. Other than that, not a whole lot as far as the obnoxiousness that is the cut down day. And I know that there's been like a lot of things going around as far as like, hey, man, you got to go from 90 to 53. Some guys' dreams are getting absolutely ruined. These guys are never going to play again. And some guys, this is their last shot. This is their last time on an NFL football field. So let's just, you know, let them go with grace, which I do absolutely agree with. But also, we just saw some dreams come true. How about we focus on these guys? All right. That's my personal choice, that I choose to focus on the guys whose dreams just became true. Jason Taylor, like, he was a guy who was kind of on the bubble of being cut, and we didn't cut any drafted rookies, but he was one of those guys, especially with the appearance of John Johnson on the roster, and it was like, hey, maybe his job isn't so safe, and his dream just came true. He now is on the 53-man roster of an NFL team going into his rookie season. That's awesome. Nick Hampton, O'Shawn Mathis, like, these guys were cuttable players, and instead, they're going to be, you know, hitting a plane to Seattle next week and ready to play in the NFL. So I'm pumped about it, man. I'm pumped for those guys. I'm pumped for the guys whose dreams just got made. I know it sucks that some guys' dreams just got absolutely ruined, but what the heck? We don't have to focus on the bad. And I know that not focusing on it or not talking about it doesn't make it go away. But also, let's not ignore these guys who just had their dreams come absolutely true. These dudes who are thrilled. They are so pumped. They just had this thing that, like, they've been going for years, and they just had it come true. And the only thing going on the internet is like, yeah, but I'm sad for that guy. It's like, well, what the heck? Like, let these people be pumped. And I'm pumped about it either way. And see, I think part of this all as well is like, the players come and go. The Rams are forever. And these guys made the Rams. I'm here for it, man. And I'm here to celebrate the guys that did make it. It sucks that we had to drop some guys, and some guys are now going to maybe never play football again, although there's a lot of options out there. There's the USFL, there's the XFL, there's the CFL. There's other options for some guys who are talented enough, but I just don't want to forget and ignore the guys who are, first of all, here today, who we will continue to talk about, and whose dreams just came true. I really like to focus on those guys, so we will throughout this year. And when guys are getting their first starts or first action, first time being active on game day, we're going to celebrate, all right? We're going to celebrate these guys because they're out here busting their butt cheeks, man, and for our entertainment. This is very, like, Coliseum Gladiator Days style, because they're just, like, risking their bodies just so that we can, like, drink beers and high five. And I'm kind of here for all of it, all right? It's a weird way to put that. I know, I realize that, and, like, some people hear that analogy, and they think that's a negative. I think it's awesome. All right. The ancient Romans were killing it out there, and that was absolutely entertaining. I realized back then people had to die, but hey, different times, right? Different times. Let's move on here. The captains have officially been announced, and on the offensive side, we do have quarterback Matthew Stafford, wide receiver Cooper Kupp, offensive lineman Rob Havenstein, and the newbie with the captain patch, Tyler Higbee. First time getting the captain patch in his career, which is absolutely incredible. He is the best tight end in Rams history. You can try to argue with me on that if you would like to. I realize that every time I say that, there's at least a pair of eyebrows that are upgrading in elevation, right? But I challenge those eyebrows, the brain behind those eyebrows, to come up with a tight end who you think is overall better than Tyler Higbee in the Rams franchise history. Maybe guys with more talent, yeah, I guess there's arguments for that. But best tight end, statistically, he's the man. So I'm super pumped for Tyler Higbee. Finally get that patch on his jersey. Cooper Kupp getting the captain patch for the fourth time in his career. Rob Havenstein, second straight year getting that captain patch. He, of course, had it last year as well. For the first time in his career, he had it last year. So back-to-back for Big Rob on the right side there of the line. And then Matthew Stafford, named captain every year so far as a Ram, meaning this is his third time with that captain patch on. But, of course, it's your quarterback. He's the vet. Of course, he gets the captain patch. On the defensive side, we do have defensive lineman Aaron Donald, safety Jordan Fuller, and linebacker Ernest Jones. So Aaron Donald getting the captain patch for the sixth time in his career. That's obviously awesome. We have Jordan Fuller getting the captain patch for the second time in his career after the patch was given to Wagner last year, although he did have it in that Super Bowl season for the Rams, so he's getting that one back after the Wagner departure over to the Seattle Seahawks. And then Ernest Jones getting the captain patch for the first time in his career, and not only is he getting the patch, but he's also getting the green dot. So big year for Jones, which is super exciting. I'm super pumped to see him. Obviously, he's been like kind of slotted in as like your go-to breakout star. There's a few guys, especially on the defensive side. People, of course, toss in Kobe Durant into that as well. I'm really feeling like Darian Kendrick for some reason. And not to say that he's like Kobe Durant's not going to do well, but something about Darian Kendrick, I just feel really good about him going into this year. But Kobe Durant, we already kind of know that he's a total monster. So I think from that standpoint, I'm not surprised to see him like absolutely just destroy some souls out there. I think Darian Kendrick would surprise a lot more people. Me, less so, I guess, because I really liked him last year as well. Just didn't really get in there as often as I would have liked. But hey, I don't make those calls, right? I just watch and drink beers and stuff. Some fans, though, on the defensive captain topic, seem frustrated that John Johnson wasn't named a captain. But he's also only been back for a really short time. Captains are also voted on by the players, so I don't think there's any room to kind of argue it. Very much like NFL Top 100 list, it's like it's the players voting. Like, they're the ones going against these guys. They're in the locker rooms with these guys. Like, what the hell do we know? Like, so I think that it being the players, I just kind of blindly accept it. And maybe that's wrong, I don't know, but either way, I just kind of blindly, it's like, all right, the players voted this guy, that's the captain. And also, I don't think it's like a diss to not get the captain patch. I don't think there's like an anti-captain patch where it's like, who do you not want as captain? And everybody votes, and then that gets announced of like 12 votes that nobody wanted, like, we did not want you as the captain, man. So I just don't think it works that way, but I'll say that all captains were also here last year. I don't know if that's an accident or if that's part of the qualifications. Also, I think an underrated part of this is the last time John Johnson was a Ram was 2020. And if we're looking at today's roster, that does include the practice squad. There are only 11 players here right now who were on that 2020 team with John Johnson. That includes names like Troy Reader, who just got added back to the practice squad. And I'm not saying that John Johnson doesn't deserve to be a captain. That's definitely not what I'm saying at all. But it does make total sense to me that he's not. Plus, if Jordan Fuller is a captain, do you really put both of your starting safeties as captains? That seems a little weird. And if you don't, do you take the captain patch away from Jordan Fuller, who's been a leader of your defense for years now? I just don't think so. Like, of course, you know my vote on Jordan Fuller getting his captain patch removed. Of course, I just disagree with that. I think the guy's awesome. But it just doesn't seem reasonable to me that you would have two safeties be your captains. Get a guy at every level. We got a safety, we got a linebacker, and we also have a defensive lineman. That just makes total sense to me. So what I'm saying also is, like, I just don't think it's... you can be a leader and also not a captain. Like, those things aren't mutually exclusive. Like, Johnson can still be a leader on this team without having the patch. And I think that the overall impact of him not getting the patch over other guys is pretty minimal, honestly. And let him get back to being a Ram before we just also add that pressure onto him. And it's also, like I said, it's like, it's not like he can't also be a leader because he doesn't have the captain patch. It's not like if somebody comes up, a rookie comes up and asks him for, like, let's say Jason Taylor is coming up to him and asking him a question in the locker room. He's going to be like, "Go, why don't you go ask your captain, all right? Because I'm not him." Like, you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. And like I said, only 11 dudes here from when John Johnson was here originally. So not only does, like, the team not know him and all these players who were voting on this not really know John Johnson as a person yet, but he doesn't know them either. Like, we're talking about not knowing, like, not, you can't lead guys you don't know. I mean, John Johnson is in that conversation, I think. So I think that it's good to have him not the captain right now because, again, that doesn't mean he's not a leader of the team. It just means that he can just kind of, like, he doesn't have to have that added pressure of it. Let Jordan Fuller do it. Let Ernest Jones. Let Aaron Donald. You can still be a leader and a vocal leader of this defense without having that. So I think I was just surprised at the reaction of people who are like, what? John Johnson didn't get a captain pat? Like, the surprise surprised me. I had surprise-ception going on in my brain. I was like, what is going on here? It's like, of course he's not a captain. He hasn't been here for a few years, and we have our captains. Like, I don't know. So either way, stoked for the guys who did get the patch. Donald, Fuller, Jones, I think that's a good squad. We do have one other captain to talk about, though, and that is wide receiver Ben Skowronek. Benny Sko, the Sko Plow, getting the captain patch. Pretty cool stuff. This is an interesting move. I didn't expect it, but I'm also not mad about it. I feel like Benny Sko was like a guy people were predicting to get cut, and then all of a sudden he's a captain, and it's like, oh, you were way off on that. Not only did he not get cut, but he's like a team leader. Like, that's the opposite of getting cut. So it makes sense, by the way, that that he would get like the special teams captain slot, considering what the special teams unit is right now, which is like just a bunch of kids. Like, I mean, Ethan Evans, like, he's obviously got a cannon attached to his hips and stuff like that, but, like, I mean, Brett Maher coming in, do you really give a captain patch to a dude who you just picked up after preseason? I don't know. So it makes total sense to me. Also, I found out throughout this entire process that Ben Skowronek, his name is Bennett, not Benjamin. Not Benjamin. So it's, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that information, but I don't know what I was supposed to do with that information. All right. So I passed it along to you. Good stuff there. All right. So we do have one more topic to get into. But first, I'm going to take a quick break here. If you are not a premium user of wherever you are listening to me, get into some commercials into your face, and then I'll be back after that. And if you were a premium user, then you just got a weird little pause in there. Congratulations. And just one more topic to get into let's call it the final off-season podcast. I didn't mean to get all Les Snead on you there, Les Snead-isms. Let's call it the final off-season podcast here. But of course, next week we will get full into the back to the normal schedule of Wednesday drops with game previews and all that stuff. Maybe some fan case, actually. No, not fan cases. We're going to leave that for Mondays, all right? We get the interactions on Mondays. I don't mean to give you a weird little tease there to just strip it away from you right away, but yeah, that's what we're going to do. Let's call it. That's my favorite Les Snead thing that he says. Let's call it. I also, by the way, sidebar, before we get into this, I told Les Snead that I had given him the nickname because he was at the Denver game. I had told him when he was signing my flag, it was like, hey, I gave you the nickname of Les Make-A-Deal Snead. What do you think? And he said, it's okay. So now I feel super self-conscious about it, and I don't want to say it anymore. And he got into my head, man. Oh, damn it, Les. Damn it, Les. All right. None of that's important to you, I guess. But just the inner workings of the Sheriff Joe Back's brain. Dangerous place. Don't go at night. You're not ready for that. All right, so let's talk about Matthew Stafford here and some comments that he has said, allegedly said. I don't know what the proper term is here, but Kelly Stafford mentioned on her podcast that Matthew is having trouble connecting with his younger teammates and that he even had the equipment staff print out photos of each player with their name so that he could know who they are and start conversations with them. He said he doesn't feel like he knows these guys and, quote, can't lead guys he doesn't know. So there's a lot to this story and a lot of different angles to this story, and it seems like everybody's got their own opinion on this story. I'm going to try to kind of leave my own opinion out for the most part, but kind of touch on different angles that can be taken in this story here. So there's a lot to it, but I'm also going to say not a lot to it. All right. I feel like this is over the top. All right. But we're going to cover it anyway. We're a Rams podcast. That's what we do here. All right. So first and foremost, so many questions to answer. First, is it true? That we don't actually know, but there's no reason to not believe it, but there's also not a reason to believe it, I guess, if that makes any sense. There's also really no reason this became a story. That's kind of where my brain is going. It's like, why are we being told about this? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that this is like a topic that like should just go to all the masses. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to know. Like, that's a locker room conversation, I think. But it's probably a little bit true that Matthew Stafford, he's a husband and a father of three, that he's having trouble connecting to guys who are brand new to the league and like 22 years old. He's going into year, 15? I think that when Matthew Stafford was drafted, flip phones were still big. Maybe we had broken into like Blackberries, but like it's a whole different world than when Stafford was drafted. So of course he's probably having some trouble connecting to people. I have trouble connecting to people. I'm 32 and I have trouble. Like if I meet somebody who's 23, I don't know how to interact with them. This makes total sense that Matthew Stafford's having trouble connecting with younger people who are just in a whole different era of life than him. You know what I mean? It makes total sense. But also, that's part of why the NFL is so awesome. It brings people from all different backgrounds together, and it's football. If you can play, you can stay. Like, nobody cares where you came from or who you know, what you've done, like anything like that. It's like, if you can play ball and you can help this team win, you're good. Everybody's happy with you. Second question, why? Why did she say this? If the alleged complaint was that the players end practice and are on their phones right away, you put this in a podcast and the news cycle picks it up, guaranteed they've seen this now. And 100% like infiltrate from the inside. Like put this information in a podcast and let people on Twitter pick it up, and guaranteed all these dudes are seeing it right away, right? So they have seen these reports by now, and if we know Stafford at all, Matthew Stafford, then conversations have been had from between the time this story popped off and now. And did she think that this comment was just going to take off the way that it did, or did she think that it maybe was just going to disappear? Because the way that her tone was while saying it, it kind of felt like it was just like, he doesn't know what the heck to, like, how to talk to these young guys. Like, they're just on their phones all the time. Like, and it's like, I can't leave guys that are just in their phone. Well, what was his tone like? We're getting a secondhand story here. We're getting secondhand comments. And we don't know what Matt, maybe he was joking. Maybe he was drunk. I don't know. I have no idea. Probably not drunk, if I had to guess, actually. He's a very responsible human being. He's a dad of three girls and like a husband and stuff like that. He's probably not getting drunk like that in during training camp. But either way, like, we don't know what his tone was. Was he joking? Was he super serious? We don't know those questions. All right. Third question. Should she have said this? I'm going to go with probably not, but also Matthew knows his wife has a podcast and that she talks about all kinds of things that those two talk about, especially when it comes to the Rams. The podcast is essentially about being a superstar quarterback's wife. And so we're going to get a lot of conversations when it comes to the Rams. Did he ask her to do this? Did he know that she said this? Would he have asked her not to say something if he didn't want it out there? Has there ever been a time where he told her something and explicitly told her not to talk about it on the podcast? Maybe, maybe not. I truly have no idea. Why would I know that information? I don't think any of us really have that information. I would guess that maybe it's like, maybe there's been some comments before of like, this is not, by the way, like podcast talk. Like maybe that's been said. They're married. I'm sure they've known each other for a long time now and are comfortable having conversations like that. But should she, like, I don't know if she should have or not. I don't know if he wanted this to happen. I don't know if he told her not to and she did anyway. I don't know if he said to do it and she didn't want to and reluctantly did. Nobody has those answers, right? Fourth question. Question number four. What does Matthew think of all this? Again, a question that I cannot answer because he has not addressed this into the universe, all right? So if he asked her to say this or knew that she would and didn't ask her not to, then I'm sure he's just not that worried about how it comes off to the players and in the media, because he knows the players better than we do. And I don't know what their reaction would be to this kind of thing. The way that like Cameron McDonald's eyes looked, I feel like he would be angry at anything you said, But he also was one of the coolest humans of all time, so there's that part of it too. But that's irrelevant in this conversation. If he didn't expect or want this to be out there, then I'm sure he wouldn't be thrilled about it. But it's not like Kelly's stupid or anything, all right? I'm sure she has a pretty solid gauge on what's appropriate to talk about on a podcast and what's inappropriate to talk about on a podcast, especially when there are those media leeches just waiting for any kind of nugget to write an article about. We've got them all throughout the Rams media stuff, and I'm not saying that as a negative term. It's just like people are trying to find content, and when you give it to them, they will find it. And if it's just in a podcast, of course they're going to find it. It's very public. But she's like, I just feel like she would understand what's appropriate to say and what's not appropriate to say. I feel like she's not stupid, all right? Kelly Stafford is awesome, and I realize she also, like, pretty recently spilled a drink on somebody, but I also, like, I trust that she's a reasonable human being. Like, we all get angry and stuff. Like, I'm sure she knows what she's doing out here. Fifth question. What does the team think of this? We haven't really heard from anybody on this topic except for, like, a very quick little comment here and there of, like, maybe it's a joke. Maybe she was joking. Maybe he was joking. And maybe this has all gone kind of too far or whatever. But I do think it's a little jarring. It's got to be a little jarring as a young player when a Super Bowl winning quarterback has a story come out that he's struggling to connect with you because you're always on your phone. Could Matthew say, hey, this isn't phone time. Let's do something. It's ping pong time. probably. But this story coming out also gives these young guys a chance to show their leadership qualities of themselves. And they now can end practice and instead of getting into their phones, keep that bad boy in the locker and then say, hey, Matthew, you want to throw some, you want to do this? Do you want to go over here? Like, hey, let's do this, Matthew. Like, that's also an option. So the fact that this is a very public story now and this has been very well documented and covered, they now have a little bit of the ball in their courts. The ball's in everybody's courts, all right? Everybody's got a ball in their court. It's just who's going to be the one to do the things with that ball. That metaphor really fell apart on me, I gotta be honest, but I stand by it, all right? Everybody's got a little bit of weight here. Matthew can absolutely go up to these guys and say, like, hey, if we want to win some football games, I need to know you, all right? Like, we're going to be going into battle here, bro, and I need to know who you are. Like, that's absolutely a real thing. Or these players can do it. These players can absolutely be like, you know what, man, you're right. We've been a little bit in our phones. It's time to take this serious. We're making millions of dollars to play a game, and we need to take it serious. Or even the coaches come in and be like, all right, hey, there's a story coming out. And yeah, we've all seen it. We've all seen you get on your phones as soon as practice is over. How about we wrap that up? And how about no phones now? Because that can be a thing, too. We've seen that plenty of times. I know that Jeff Fisher had that rule. No phones. No phones in the meeting rooms. You put them outside. There's a little cubby outside the door. You just throw it in there and then go into the meeting room. Whatever. I can say this. From in my own world, if I'm talking with people and if I'm face-to-face with you, and I'm sure there are people that can attest to this, you will not see my phone. I don't want you to see my phone. Because I value person-to-person interactions, and being able to look somebody in the eyes and shake their hands and stuff, I think that's underrated. I can't stand when you're trying to talk with somebody, you're just with them or something like that, you're trying to have a conversation, and they are just in their phones. That drives me absolutely insane. So I know for myself, in my groups, multiple groups that I am in, whether that's certain family groups, certain friend groups, if we're all hanging out, you're not on your phone. You're just not. Because that's rude. We are real life people in front of you. Interact with us. And don't get me wrong here. Most of my friends by now, I'm in my 30s now. Most of my friends married, have kids, stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely make sure that everything's okay. If your phone starts ringing, see who it is. That's okay. If you need to answer it, yeah, obviously. If your wife's texting you, definitely respond to that. Don't not respond because I'm going to be like, look at this guy on his phone again. Like, screw me at that point, right? Respond to your wife. And I think that ultimately, though, it's like it's one of those things of, like, if you're going to be scrolling on social media, if you're scrolling through Twitter or the artist formerly known as Twitter, X now, or Facebook or something, Instagram, that's inappropriate. That's rude. All right. Social media can wait until you are by yourself. All right. Get off your phone if you're hanging out with people. And I fully believe that. So that kind of ties in with, though, like, Stafford's in his 30s. I'm in my 30s. I think I just feel differently about cell phones and stuff. But again, like, it is just a rule. If I'm in a group with my friends No phones, unless it's absolutely necessary. Keep it on you. Check it if you need to. Make sure that everything's cool at home. And if you need to answer it, absolutely do it. But we are real life people in front of you. Don't just sit there on your phone. That's super rude. So I'm 100%, like, if this is all a real story on Matthew Stafford, I've got his back so hard on this, because I hate cell phones and social media and all that stuff. So to see Matthew kind of taking that a little bit and being like, oh man, I just don't know how to do this. Because, like, even, what is his name? Mike Florio. His advice to Stafford was, you get into your phone then and interact with them through Twitter, through this. And when's the last time you saw Matthew Stafford on Twitter? I don't think he has one. I don't know what kind of advice that is. That's such a weird thing. It's like, I mean, I guess I get it in some sense of, like, it's, if you're asking them to change their entire life, why aren't you able to, like, why aren't you willing to change your perspective on certain things? But I mean, also, Matthew Stafford's perspective is trying to connect with guys and trying to win football games. Their perspective is, I'm in the NFL, I'm getting likes, I'm getting follows, like, I'm on the phone. Like, and I have an understanding of what Matthew Stafford is talking about here. Overall, though, let's get back to Matthew Stafford in general. Overall, I think that this story is getting blown way out of proportion. I'm sure if Matthew thought that this was a legitimate problem, it would have come up in some meetings, and there would be some rules surrounding cell phones. He's a team captain, one of two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in franchise history. I think it makes sense that if he were to think that this was a legitimate problem that is going to cost the Rams football games, then it comes up in some setting where it's, I mean, this is a professional football team that we're dealing with here. I mean, feelings can get lost. Like, if something needs to be said, you just say it. I feel like, you know, I mean, I haven't been in these locker rooms, but I just feel like that's the thing. And it's also, like I said, it's a professional setting. This is a professional football team. And if you can't put your phone down for a little bit, then you're not in the right place. There also needs to be some level of self-governing in this world, right? Like, there needs to be somebody needs to be able to say, like, oh, I don't need to be on my phone right now. It's business time, you know? But what does this all mean? This could be a way for Stafford, for the Stafford side of this deal to kind of kick the rest of the roster in the pants a little bit. And let's get them, like, on the vibe that maybe Stafford doesn't feel like this team is ready for battle. And this is, like, the first shift in that. This week in the meeting rooms could get very serious, so we'll kind of see what happens. Is this something that we kind of look back on at the end of the season as the first domino? As the kick in the pants of, like, that Stafford got everybody together? Or is there something else to this? Is there something else to this as far as, like, we'll look back on this and be like, oh, the writing was on the wall. Matthew Stafford is retiring. He doesn't feel like he can connect with these guys. He just feels like he's outgrown the locker room maybe a little bit, and it's time for the other guys to, like, younger guys to kind of step in. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a real possibility, especially look at his life. I mean, what else does he have to prove? He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback now. He's got three awesome kids. He's got an awesome wife. I mean, why not just call it and just go live your life and just go be awesome? So, I don't know. Either way, I feel like this story is going to be looked back on as either the first sign of true turbulence for the Rams in 2023. This could be something as, like, the first sign of, like, without this moment and Stafford calling out his teammates, maybe we don't put it together this year, and that was necessary to win a bunch of football games in a row and maybe get to the playoffs or something like that. Or it really could be, like, the first sign, the first hint at this could be Matthew Stafford's final year. That's my take on all this. Either way, at this point right now, on the last day of August, as this is being recorded, officially going into the 1st of September, as I'm basically saying these words right now, is that we don't know if this team is going to be good or bad. Either way, though, I just don't feel like this is the last time we hear about these Stafford comments. I think that no matter what happens, we can look back on these comments, this story, and say that it meant something. If the Rams are bad, we can say that, well, Stafford didn't feel like he connected with these guys. If it's good, well, it's a good thing that Stafford called everybody out, because they really got it together. And if he retires at the end of the year, it's like, well, we got our first hint of him retiring when he felt like he couldn't connect to the young guys. So I say all of that to say that little bit, really. But I stand by it because this is such a weird story. Again, I feel like it's super blown out of proportion. And also, I totally agree. Get the heck off your cell phones. If you are in front of other human beings, just put your cell phone away if you don't need to be on it. I am Sheriff Joe Bags, and I approve that message. All right. That's going to do it, though. RamsShowcase.com. Definitely check that out as far as your game preview content will be popping up in there. I'm excited to get back to writing. That's part of this season is the writing process. There are some liberties that I am taking as far as the podcast goes, so that I do have the proper time to be able to write stuff out and kind of give that the attention that it needs, not just throw something together real quick. An announcement will come as far as like what the game previews will look like. We'll talk about that next week. You'll just know. I think the announcement is just happening. So some good stuff coming there. Very excited about it. Very excited for this season. Super pumped not only to watch the 2023 LA Rams take the field, but super pumped for Rams Showcase and what this year could be. So, I think that's going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fansided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.